I want to look at courage. Where is our courage? So we'll be in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1, if you would go there. Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1, starting in verse number 1, the word of God says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of my life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for how wonderful you are to us. I thank you for this time we're able to just gather in your house and be able to sing wonderful songs to bless your name and how worthy you are, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for this time that I'm able to preach. And Lord, I pray that you would just give me the boldness and confidence and the courage to preach your word. Lord, help me to stand on your truth. And Lord, if there's anything that you would have me not to say, pray you'd hold my tongue. And if there's anything you would like me to say, pray that you'd help me to say it. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to your word and our hearts and minds to be sensitive to it. I ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Here in Joshua chapter 1, we see there's a new beginning for the people of Israel. We see that their leader, Moses, has passed away. And they're at a crossroads, a pivotal point in their life. Who is going to lead them now? Moses was one of the greatest. He stood against Pharaoh. He led the people of Israel out of the nation of Egypt. They were in Egypt for 400 years in bondage. But yet, God raised up a leader in Moses. And Moses brought these Israelites out of the bondage of sin, bondage of Egypt. We see that Moses came with signs and wonders that only God could give. He was the one that led them through the Red Sea. The waters were opened, and it drowned the Egyptian soldiers. He was the one who led them through the wilderness for 40 years. The thing was is that he stayed faithful to the Lord, even when they worshiped the golden calf. Moses, a great leader. Now we see Joshua being raised up. He was with Moses when Moses went to Mount Moriah to get the Ten Commandments. He waited for Moses at the bottom of the hill or bottom of the mountain. We see a man that can be a great courage to us because he put his courage in Christ. He put his courage in God. Sometimes when the crossroads come or when the times get harder, that is not when we decide to take a step back and get comfortable, but that's when we need to step forward out in faith and trust in God alone. From all the way in Exodus chapter 3 and all the way to Deuteronomy 34, we see that Scripture focuses attention on the leadership of Moses. Moses will not be forgotten. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and Deuteronomy chapter 34, it speaks of a coming prophet that would be like Moses. And all the way in Acts chapter 3 and John 12, we see that people knew that the prophet like Moses, there would be a prophet like Moses that would come, and that was Jesus Christ. He would come with signs and wonders. Why? To show that he is God. But many didn't always believe just because of the signs and wonders. They wanted to see those things, but they didn't realize that it was God himself. Jesus came with miracles to show that he is God. Moses was an amazing leader, and he did so much for Israel, but now his time is gone, and it's time for a new leader. And I ponder on that we live in a generation where we need new leaders to stand up. We need new leaders to stand against the wiles of the devil. We see a culture that is anti-Christ. Schools that preach against or teach against God's word, against family, against gender. But we need people to have the courage to stand on truth. Amen. And I praise the Lord that God is immutable. He's unchanging. Yes. And we can always stand on his truth. He is faithful. He guides and directs us. I can see that in my own life. And how amazing he is. The way he's guided me from the time I was a little boy. And he guided me all the way to go to Bible college. He called me to be a pastor one day. And the best thing I can do is to do what God tells me to do. To obey it. Because there's times when you don't obey God's word, he'll make you very miserable. He will. But what a wonderful thing is that he's in your life. And he convicts you. We see a new leader, a new servant of the Lord, a man named Joshua. Moses has passed on, and Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, he said, God buries his workers, but his work goes on. I praise the Lord for that, because from right there I can see that God doesn't need me. God wants to use me, and he wants to use you. Yes. Joshua was the son of Nun and was part of the tribe of Ephraim. Joshua was born into slavery in Egypt and was given the name Oshea, which means salvation. We see this in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 8. And in verse 16, we see that Moses calls Oshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. And Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. And we see that Joshua was stricken in age, as Scripture tells us. Many people believe he was about maybe 80 years old when he took leadership. The one thing that is so amazing about Joshua is that he saw the leadership of Moses. He saw God work through Moses. He saw God do miracles in that desert, that wilderness, when he was in Egypt. Joshua saw all these things. In Exodus 17, we see that Joshua's first recorded act was the defeat of the Amalekites, not long after Egypt's exit. So we see that Joshua saw how a true leader was, but he also had great military skill. Joshua was Moses' servant. Moses was a mentor to him. I'm going to turn this down just a little bit. We'll bring that down. Joshua went with him to Mount Moriah. He was one of the 12 spies out of Canaan in Numbers chapter 13. 12 spies were sent out into the land, the promised land, and when they returned, 10 of them didn't have put trust and faith in Christ. And God, they discouraged the people of the land because there are giants in the land. They didn't think that they could power over the enemy. But Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that trusted in God. They knew who their God was. These 10 men looked at God through the difficulties. But Joshua and Caleb looked at the difficulties through what they knew about God. Now we come to Joshua chapter 1, a new leader, a new beginning for the nation of Israel. Joshua the deliverer, he was a picture of Christ. Now Jesus would lead men and women and children out of a life of sin. God touching the life of Joshua and choosing him to be courageous, a courageous servant in his generation. Will we have courageous servants in our generation? In my generation? How will an 80-year-old man lead 2 million rebellious people to victory over 7 nations? How will that ever be accomplished? People most likely doubted the capabilities of Joshua. They probably questioned his leadership. But God chose Joshua, and Joshua is challenged 4 times in Joshua 1 by the Lord himself to be strong and full of courage. We need to be full of faith and full of hope. When I think of men of courage in the Bible, I think of David. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 through 46, it says, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand." A man that was so much smaller than a giant. Goliath was more powerful than David himself, but David had God alone. God was on his side. God went before David. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, in verse 6 through 8, it says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, the Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the woman captives, and that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no power to weep. And David's 2 wives were taken captive, Ahinoam and Jezreeli, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." I mean, the time of trouble that was. David's wives and his children were taken captive. His own men, his own mighty men spoke of stoning him. I mean, the fear that he could have had. But yet, he encouraged himself in the Lord. No matter when trials or troubles come our way, what do we do when that time comes? Do we encourage ourselves in the Lord, or do we focus on our own capabilities? I know I fall short of that. Sometimes I won't go to God himself first. And then I realize, like, Lord, I should have done that. I should have gone to you first and asked for forgiveness. But David had hope and he had courage in the Lord. God will always give us grace to go on for his glory. We need to believe that the Lord is with us. We need to focus on the eternal and not the temporal. But folks, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's ignoring one's fear in order to do the right thing. A very famous theologian by the name of John Wayne, he said, "Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyways."
Yeah. Right.
And you think about that. Those that had courage in Scripture, doesn't say that they weren't afraid, but they put courage because of who they looked to. And that was to the one above. The other day I was listening to Dr. Shetler preach at Lancaster Baptist Church online, excuse me, and he had a message out of Lamentations chapter 3, and he was preaching a message on hope. And one thing that he said that I never really thought of before, but he said that hope is fuel to courage. How can you have courage but not have hope? It doesn't work like that. You have to have hope. And it's the object of your hope. The object of our hope is Jesus Christ. Where has your hope gone to? Where has your courage gone to? There are three ways hope and courage can come into your life. Hope and courage comes first when you put your trust, your faith and trust in God's promises. Look at verse number 2 of Joshua 1. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. God promised to Joshua and to the people of God that he would provide land for them. As verse 3 says this, God gave this promise all the way back in Genesis chapter 13. When G. Campbell Morgan was a young man, he visited two elderly ladies each week to read the Bible to them. When he read Matthew 28 and verse 28, it says, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, he said, Isn't that a wonderful promise? One of the ladies quickly replied, Young man, that is not a promise, it's a fact. All of God's promises are fact. They're true. Look at all the promises in Scripture that have been fulfilled. The prophecy of Christ coming to this world to die on the cross for all of man's sins. What a wonderful promise that came true. You know, Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ, the promise of a Savior. And then very soon from now, we celebrate the resurrection. We see Christmas is the promise of the Savior, and then we see that the promise of the Savior is proved. It took place. Christ rose from the dead, defeating and conquering death. We see that with Israel and the promised land, and if you look today, that's something that's interesting to think about, is that they never truly proclaimed all of the land that God has given to them. Probably maybe only 10%. And it gets you thinking is, are we only claiming 10% of what God has given to us? Or are we proclaiming all that God has given? Are we only settling for a small percentage, or are we going to settle for what God wants us to be receiving for his greater blessing? As we as Christians need to claim that everything that God has promised to us. James chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Claim it as God promised it. God is still looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. We only plan what we can accomplish on our own effort, but we need to have goals of greater faith. We need to courageously proclaim the promises that God has given. God has promised Joshua the land, but he was going to have to go. He was going to have to conquer it. He was going to have to fight for that land that God promised to him. He was going to have to step out on that land. God promised us that he would give us power in Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus said, in verse 18, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God says he is with you. He's with me. How can we be courageous and stand up for God? By knowing he is there. Knowing that Jesus is with you, and that right there alone should be enough for us to be able to have the courage and the boldness to witness. Christ is enough. He is sufficient. But why is it sometimes we don't have that courage? Is it because we don't have hope in Him? Is it because we may be in doubt of His presence? But we shouldn't doubt. God gave us His Word. He is faithful and just. The very God that protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from a fiery furnace, from being burned alive, because they were not going to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. God protected them. God was with them. The men said that they saw a fourth that were like that was like the Son of God. That's amazing. The very God that protected Daniel in the lion's den because he was going to continue to pray. The very God that guided the sling of a shepherd boy to defeat Goliath. The very God that gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross and bear all our sin and to conquer death 3 days later. That is our God. He is our hope. He is our courage. Nothing will prevail against the church. Christ will build his church, he says in Matthew 16 and verse 18. Nothing will defeat him. Christ is the victory, as that song that we read, Victory in Jesus. Why do we as Christians sometimes live as we're in defeat? We're on the winning side. Just because we live in a world that is against God and a world that is trying to take Scripture away and to destroy everything that God has created, that's not the winning side. Scripture shows us who's on the winning side. Anybody that is with Christ. Anybody that has accepted Him as their Savior. As God promised Joshua, He promised us that He would be with us and give us the power and give us provisions. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." He will provide all you need. Open your hearts to God. He could touch and change us to be used for His glory. Little as much when God is in it. Where God guides, God will provide. A couple years ago, 2020. That might be more than a couple years ago. This is right when COVID took place. And I was a senior in high school. And I knew God called me to be a pastor. But I got laid off of my job because of COVID. There was nothing to do and everything got shut down and I only had $75 in my bank account and I didn't know how I was going to afford $14,000 a semester or a year for West Coast Baptist College. But I was given a scholarship to go to the local university, Utah State, and I was going to study business and stay there. I was going to be able to work and live with my parents for free, and I was going to be able to save up. But my plan was to, the next year, to go and pursue what God had called me to be. The thing was, that summer, it took a car accident for the Lord to get a hold of my heart. And it showed me that I did not put God first. Just because I didn't have the money to go to West Coast Baptist College to study for the ministry didn't mean that God wasn't going to provide. And that summer, not long after that car accident, Dr. Rasmussen, he came and with a singing group, and I was talking to him, and right there on the spot, he gave me a $1,500 scholarship. And the scholarship was smaller than the scholarship that I had to go to that local university. But it wasn't the amount that got a hold of my heart. What showed me was that God was going to provide for me to go to college, to study, to be a pastor. And that summer I was miserable, but once I put Him first, He provided the way. I graduated this last May and completely debt-free, and I was able to get married and to a beautiful wife, and now I'm serving at a church, and how amazing God is. Yes. Every time you put Him first, He will provide. Yes. You know, the word success means differently in this world, to be successful. They think being successful is having all the riches, all the glory of doing everything, but success is, that's not success. Success is Christ. Doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, doesn't matter how much trials or things are you're going through, doesn't matter anything but Christ. Christ is so good, he's so great and so wonderful. And I praise the Lord that I chose him. Not, I chose him after he chose me. I praise the Lord for that. The promise of salvation is a wonderful thing. We don't have to do anything to receive or to do to get it other than receive the gift. Not by going to church, not by giving to church, not by because of our parents were in church or our family or just because we have someone, a loved one that's a Christian, doesn't mean that we are a Christian, but it's that we choose Christ alone. It's that personal decision. How amazing it is that because we are destined to hell, that God still loves us because of our sin, even though we're sinful. God's love is an amazing thing, and that should be our hope because of the love of God. Hope and courage comes when we put our faith and trust in his promises, but secondly, notice it comes when we put our faith and trust in God's presence. Look at verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of my life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, for I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. The Lord says, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua is given encouragement from himself time and time again. If look, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 31, just a few verses, chapters over. Chapter 31, verse number 1. And it says, as Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them as Joshua. He shall go over before thee as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according. I lost my spot. Ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is, doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Joshua this is not the first time that he heard this. This is a reminder that God will be with him. God will go before him. He will go in before him in the nation of Israel. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Joshua is given fresh encouragement from God himself. Joshua was reminded that he will be with the Lord. And this isn't new news, but it's an encouraging reminder. We need to be reminded just because how important it is. We probably have heard this before, but realize that we need to believe it and live it as well. This gives Joshua encouragement, it gives him hope, and it gives him peace. Because this shows God's presence is protective. And the thing is, and God gives us his Holy Spirit. Romans 15 and verse 13, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit seals us until the day of redemption. Ephesians 1 and verse 13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted, that after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Scripture shows that the promise. God is with us. The hope of the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 33, it says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace in the world. Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." 1 John 5, and verse 4 through 5, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" How amazing and wonderful it is that God is with Joshua. And God is with us. He is there right by us. But we have to acknowledge his presence. Acknowledge that he is there. And sometimes I realize in my own life is that sometimes I'll use God as a spare tire. And I've even noticed in other times in my life is that I'll try not to even use a spare tire if I can. I'll try to make it home without the spare tire, even if there's a leak in the main tire. And that's concerning, is that sometimes we don't even go to him when we even need him. We need him daily. God promises victory. And Joshua would find it necessary to rely on the presence of God. God's presence gives courage. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important than fear. Franklin Roosevelt said that. God's out there and he's waiting for you. You just need to step out in the trust in him. Hope and courage comes when we put our faith and trust in his promises. And secondly, it comes when we put our hope and our faith and trust in his presence. But it also, thirdly, it comes when we put our faith and trust in God's precepts, in God's word. Look at verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God's word must not be compromised. God's word must not be taken in the sense of relativity or poetry or a good book. If you want courage, you will believe every word of God's word to you. The way you approach God's word will determine your effectiveness as a courageous servant. There are none more or less important, but all words are important in God's word. And we can never be careless of God's word. It's God's word. It's quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." It's alive. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." God's word must be taken seriously. Amen. It can't be just thrown around but taken seriously and taught and preached with respect. And I praise the Lord for men like Brother Reese and Pastor Bruce. Amen. And for my parents in my life that use God's word. And I praise the Lord for Pastor Howe that used God's word, that showed me that I am in need of a Savior. We need to meditate and observe God's word, obey it, and to study it. When we start compromising God's word and allowing sin in our life, we'll lose courage. If we lose sight of our hope, we can be doubt can seek come to seek into our life. If we are doubtful, then despair and discouragement can come in. But we need to put hope in Christ. Christ in the future, when he comes back for his church. There's no courage in the heart of a disobedient man. A disobedient Christian has no courage. They have no hope. We can have knowledge of Scripture, but it won't do us any good if we don't believe it and obey God's word. Leadership begins with who we are and not with what we do. Joshua's heart was tender to the Lord. It was tender to his word. An unknown writer said, "This book of the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Christ is its grand subject, our good, its design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is the mind of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure." How amazing and true and powerful God's word is. We saw that faith and trust in God's promises. We saw faith and trust in God's presence. And lastly, we saw that faith and trust in God's precepts. And it's not the amount of hope and courage that you have, but it's the object of your hope and your courage. It's Jesus Christ. Be strong and of a good courage. Psalms 27, verse 1 through 3 is one of my favorite psalms. Now, and I go there every time I need some encouragement. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" 1 Peter 1 through 1 and verse 3 through 5, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and the faith not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 4 says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God." In Colossians 1, 27, it says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Over and over again, it shows in Scripture that God is our hope. If you don't know that heaven is your home, know that Christ is your hope. Know that because of our sin, we are destined to hell. But God paid away. We are bought with the blood of Christ. And it's just by believing in our whole heart that God sent his Son to die on the cross, that he is God, and that he did conquer death, that he conquered a way for us to have a relationship with him. We're not on the defeated side, we're on the winning side. Christ is our hope. We'll close after this last illustration. Mackenzie wasn't trying to start a theological debate, but she just wanted to make a point about Jesus' resurrection. Her Sunday school teacher had tried to encourage her class with the assurance that Jesus is everywhere. But for Mackenzie, that didn't sound right. Oh, she said, "I know one place where Jesus isn't." The teacher curiously replied, "Oh, really? Where's that?" The bright little girl declared, "He's not in the grave." What a great reminder. Our omnipresent God has chosen to keep his presence absent from the grave. For just as the angel said, "He is not here, for he is risen." As he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Matthew 28:6. God is our hope. As God was with Joshua, as Joshua conquered that land, God is with us as well. When trials and tribulation and troubles come, who are we going to look to? Are we going to look to ourselves? Or are we going to look to the mighty, wonderful, powerful God who loves each of us dearly, who died for all?